You know about lions, and you've learned about antlions, but today on Insects for Fun, episode 80, we're exploring an entirely new kind. Before we start, though, I want to thank everyone that's recently rated the show and left a review. It really makes my day and helps this program grow a lot. All right, let's get into the meat of it. Green lacewings are insects in the order Neuroptera, and if you guys recall, Neuroptera is named that because the wings are heavily veined. Neuro, deriving from neuron, and ptera, meaning wings. The green lacewing specifically belongs to the family Chrysopidae, of which there are about 85 genera and around 2,000 species. That's not a lot in the grand scheme of insects, but it's definitely more than I was expecting. In general, these insects are on the smaller side and aren't easily noticeable, being only between 1.5 and 3/4 of an inch, or 1.2 centimeters and 2 centimeters, with the tropical varieties being the latter. Green lacewings are soft-bodied, with four clear and well-veined wings that form a roof-like covering over their slender bodies. The eyes are commonly golden, but this isn't true for all species. In fact, they aren't even always green. Green lacewings are sometimes referred to as common lacewings because these are the lacewings most commonly known by us, and they got the green name simply because more often than not, they are in fact green. Some species actually start green and then transition to a brown or red in the fall, such as Chrysoperna carnea. These insects are most active in warmer months, but if you live in a place with no seasons or very mild winters, then their activity doesn't really stop. They go through four distinct stages of life, and in an optimal season, this happens in a span of 4 to 6 weeks. The eggs and larvae of green lacewings are actually some of the easiest ways to identify them from other types of lacewings. Let's look at the eggs first, because this is really cool. Green lacewings lay their eggs on silken stalks, with each egg getting its own stalk slash stand. There are a couple reasons for this. The first is to keep the eggs elevated away from ants and other predators, and the second reason is to prevent predation from lacewing larvae that hatch earlier than others. The best image to describe lacewing eggs would be miniature cattail plants, where the stem is the thin, clear strand of silk, and the egg is the brown club seen at the end of these plants. This is something unique to green lacewings, and is not found with brown lacewings. The larvae for green lacewings are voracious eaters. They have a huge appetite for aphids and other soft-bodied insects, which often coin the name aphid lion. This will definitely sound familiar because we already covered antlions, and I mentioned it at the top of the show. The green lacewing larvae are also likened to alligators because they have two large jaws that they use to capture their prey. And they don't really have a neck either. This is different from the brown lacewings, which do seem to have a noticeable neck on their larvae. Once a green lacewing clamps down on its victim, it then uses its hollow jaws to inject a paralyzing venom and suck out the innards. Green lacewing differ from others by collecting carcasses of their victims and attaching them to their bodies as a form of camouflage. Now, this isn't true for all green lacewings, but it's common enough to make it a notable trait. This camouflage isn't just for predators, by the way. They also use carcasses of aphids to get past ants that bodyguard their aphid farms. Now, the larvae of green lacewings also make great tools for gardeners and farmers looking for a natural control agent to their aphid and mite problems. Similarly to ladybugs, people can order green lacewings to use for biological control. But these only get delivered as eggs, because the larvae are cannibalistic in close quarters. Some aphid lions are known to eat as many as 600 aphids in a month's time. It's not just aphids and mites, though. These larvae will target other soft-bodied insects like caterpillars and beetle larvae. In fact, they're apparently a natural predator to the extremely annoying European corn borer moth. So, what happens when one of these aphid lions eats their fill and is ready for a change? The larvae generally go through 3 molts before creating a cocoon to pupate in. They do this on a plant surface or under bark on a tree. In colder climates, the pupae will overwinter in these cocoons and emerge as adults in spring. But in warmer climates, the emergence happens in a little over a week. Now, it's been a minute since we talked about the adults, and I want to circle back to look at what those guys eat. The adults are known to be omnivores, but they primarily feed on pollen and other plant byproducts like nectar and honeydew. That being said, there are some species which are more carnivorous than others, and some which are purely herbivorous. I won't get into the nitty-gritty of that though. The idea here is that adults are not the ones people rely on for their pest problems. Also, the adults are nocturnal and/or crepuscular, unlike the larvae, which means you won't really see them often or at all, unless you have gardens or live in an area with woods and fields. Now, there are things you can do to attract them to your property, though. For starters, you should probably have a garden, but generally speaking, adults like sunflowers, cosmos, dill, aster, daisies, those kinds of flowers. It's just good to have a nice variety of plants that flower at different times through the growing season. Some other cool things to know about adult green lacewings is that they have really good hearing. It's not something you'd think they'd have based on those small heads and delicate-looking bodies, but adults have tympanal organs at the base of their forewings. You've probably heard the word tympanal before when going to an ear doctor or if you've ever had ear problems. Basically, the word tympanum means thin membrane covering an open air-filled area. Think of them as like a drum for hearing, and thus we get the name eardrum. Anyway, these guys have eardrums on their shoulders at the base of their forewings, and they're so good that green lacewings are known to avoid echolocation produced by bats. This is not the sole purpose for their awesome ears, though. These lacewings use vibrations to communicate, especially during courtship, and some species can only be separated by the courtship songs they use because of how similar they look. In fact, many of the northern species were believed to be the same until researchers started looking closely at their courting behavior. Common green lacewing etiquette is to vibrate their abdomens on whatever plant or substrate they're on. These vibrations will hopefully be received by a nearby mate and will be answered with a similar song, and the two will perform together like a duet until they're close enough to meet. It's pretty romantic if you sit and think about it, as I am while writing this episode. And honestly, that's gonna wrap up today's topic on green lacewings. If you're on Spotify, tap a star under my logo. This only works if you haven't yet given it a rating, by the way. Otherwise, if you're on Apple or some other platform, make sure to leave a rating and a review to help grow the show. Each review helps an astronomical amount. If you'd like to contact me, you can do so through email, which is insectsfordummies@gmail.com. You can also check out the Instagram at insectsforfun and the Facebook page, which is also insectsforfun. Links to the Discord and all of these things, including my Patreon, will be in the show notes. You can check out the Patreon for bonus episodes like you heard last week, covering a range of topics and really broad and interesting information relating to the world of entomology. And again, thank you as always for listening.